are live right now. If you can hear our voices, hey, Afterthought Podcast. I got my amazing co-host up in the building, Tiff Tonto, JP. I'm your boy, Joe Hill. It's the Afterthought Podcast. Check us out on Facebook. We live right now. Let's go.
Hey.
I ain't even going front. That Jack Harlow boy is getting a lot of wind right now. But let's get right into it. How y'all feeling? I'm going to start with Tiff. What's going on, sis? You got that face. I see you like this right now. How you feeling?
I'm good. My energy is a little low. It's that time for the ladies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ladies time. So I'm feeling some type
look
of...
Look at JP face. JP face. We both took a sip. Like, okay. Because, okay.
but other than that, I'm good. I'm chilling. I can't wait for the week to be over.
I know. Me too. Jay, how you feeling, Jay?
Man, feeling good. Feeling blessed. You know. Was a little frustrating after the events of last night. But yes. Today is a good day.
Let's talk about it, Jay. He's talking about the debate last night. He's talking about the presidential debate between our current president, Orange Man, versus Joe Biden, hopefully. Go ahead, Jay. Talk about it. Why were you frustrated about the debate last night?
Because it wasn't a debate. What we saw, and I'm just going to be candid with y'all.
Let's do it.
What we saw were two old, outdated, white men filled with a bunch of privilege, act and behave in the most disrespectful, disingenuous, and I don't want to say Biden may have been disingenuous or Trump may have been disingenuous all the way. There may have been things that they themselves think that they're genuine and passionate about.
Yeah.
But I've worked with kindergarten kids who act and engage better than
I like what you did there. That was definitely a comedic drop right there. I like that.
It was disgusting. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
And we are, this is like we forget, like we're really talking about the leader of the free world. Mm. The rest of the world is looking at us. Mm-hmm. The responsibility that we have. And to see that shit show, because there's no other way to put it.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. What you think, Tiff?
I didn't have any expectations. So it was like watching another live comedy show, virtual comedy show for me. The shit was funny. It's sad, but it's funny.
Elijah, what up?
I felt bad for Biden, even though I don't really like him either. But I felt bad for Biden because he couldn't get a word in edgewise. But Trump is not a politician. So Trump did what Trump does.
Yeah.
So you have to be prepared. You had 4 years to look at Trump's asshole ass and see how he operates and be prepared to handle a debate like that. So you got in there and you let him handle you.
That's, I agree.
You know what I mean?
He got under his skin.
He
definitely got under his skin, Tiff. Call
his son a crackhead loser.
Listen, hey. when he touched that son, you saw how sensitive Biden got? Fuck you up. Yo, Elijah, my shout out to Elijah Rodriguez. Yo, he said it was like they knew each other 15 years ago. Like they had beef. You know what I'm saying?
Because Trump was really like shooting the dozens. Like he was distant. Like he was like,
but you can't argue. Like, nope. You can't argue with a dude like Trump. And this is my thing. I was saying all night long, stop interrupting a fool. We already know that he's lying. We already know that he don't give a shit. Just let him drown himself with his words. But like Tiff said, there was moments Trump know how to get up under your skin. Trump like that power forward on a good championship team. He know how to, he might not score, but the nigga gonna talk shit and get you out of your game.
He's antagonistic.
Yeah,
you can't win an argument with Trump because that's what it was, an argument. It wasn't a debate. You can't win an argument with a person like Trump because he doesn't have a conscience. He does not give a fuck. He's not emotional. He don't give a fuck. So he couldn't even came back and said something about his kid. because Trump don't give a fuck about them.
Yeah, but Tiff, what's so funny about that? You're absolutely right. But do you really realize, like, no offense to Biden, but how old and slow he is and how long it takes him to respond? It's like, bruh, I need you to pick it up.
Yeah.
Like, you really want to sit here and have this energy, like,
it's
to
true.
Run the country for the next 4 years?
Yep.
We need you
so
to
that's
make
what
sure.
I'm saying. So who won the debate as far as that's concerned? It didn't have any substance. You had two racists sitting there talking about your races.
Exactly.
They're like, no, your mother. No, your mother.
It was crazy because at one point they probably would have fought right there on live TV if they let them niggas fight.
Word.
Like, hold up, just word. You know what? Goddamn it, fuck this shit, nigga. But this is my thing in politics, and this is why I say you can't have a real like Obama was closest to a real nigga. I don't want to say nigga, but he's the closest we got to a real black man. But that's why we can't have black men in politics. That would have been me up there. I would have lost my shit. I would have came across that damn podium and we would have been fucking tussling. Cause you know, old men don't fight. They tussle. You know what I'm saying? We would have been tussling on the floor.
No, but it's true. Nothing is politically correct anymore. So we can definitely fight now. You said something, you know, I just interviewed Cardi. I can definitely run up and pull up on you.
Yeah.
Just talking about my kid, right? Cause that's what she did, right? Just fuck him up.
Yep.
Smack him in his wig.
I ain't going front. Joe Biden looked like the type that right before he fight, he got to take his tie off. He got to take his cufflinks off. I'm going to whoop your ass right now. Take my shit off.
But you know what Trump does?
What?
Trump, you know what Trump does, though?
Yeah.
Trump is like, remember when we used to watch wrestling back in the day?
Yeah.
Like, Trump is your classic heel bad guy in wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, he just talks bad shit.
He talked mad shit.
Crowd to boo, 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 boo. You suck. You this, you that. But at the same time, people always are paying to see him, and he knows that I'm here to put on a show.
Yep.
Like he literally could be in like WWE. Like
that's Trump. And that's why Trump won the debate. That's why.
So you think Trump won that debate?
He had his own strategy now, whether it made any sense or not. Whether we got anything or was able to pull anything from it, it doesn't matter. He did not allow Biden to say what he had to say.
Yeah. Yep.
So anybody that is feeling like they are in support of Biden and want Trump out of here, we still don't know what the fuck Biden is going to do for us because Trump ain't let him say it. And that's what the debate. So,
that's actually funny, though. No, you're right, though. You're right.
You like, get the fuck
absolutely
out of here with
right.
that.
Nah, that's a fact. So, to me, Tiff, I really think Biden, because they say there's three more of these things, even though we don't need any more, or two more left, and then one for the vice president. Like, I really think Kamala Harris and the vice president and Pence, once they have their debate, they don't need to be anything else.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing else we need to hear from anyone else. Because it would be nice to maybe get their running mates and their counterparts to hopefully express things better so that we get a clearer or constructive understanding of what it is that they want to get across. But we don't need to see that bullshit again. Like, don't waste my time with that.
We don't. But I'm going to say
this,
though.
The world is so polarized. We know people already know who they want to vote for. Yeah. I don't really think there's a lot of people still stuck on the fence. We know we have to vote. I'm telling you to vote. But the thing about it is this. You just got to make sure you hold the elected officials accountable.
Yes.
Don't let them get comfortable while they're in office.
But
Don't let them get comfortable.
I picked up my son earlier from upstate, and I was driving through Congers. For those that know Rockland County, you got Haverstraw, West Nyack, Congers, Valley Cottage. I seen a couple Trump 2020 shits on the lawn as I was driving by. I'm not even going front. Like, I didn't see them a couple years ago, but they out here. They are out here. And then, you know, I seen a couple Biden Harris. I saw those. It was a mixture, but I saw some proud Trump 2020 spiked up in them lawns up in Congress, New York, when I was riding through to get my son earlier. But it's gonna be interesting, to be honest, because we still don't know what's gonna happen. I just know that I'm going to be doing my part. And when I say my part, getting the word out to vote in general, I'm going to be, and that's something I haven't done in the past years, but I'm going to be using the stage. I'm going to be using this podcast. We need to get out and vote. I don't care if I got to make a video, because I feel like we can't have another 4 years. Like Charles Barkley said some bum shit about the Breonna Taylor thing, but he was right about us and voting. Don't be an idiot. You know what I'm saying? He say some real off and on shit, but don't be an idiot like we were last year. So
that's right.
I think it's important. So yeah, in a few minutes, we got our first guest, Mr. Rick Herrera, a Brooklyn native, singer, songwriter, actor. What can I say? Producer, dope individual.
He does it all, Joe.
You said what?
I said he does it all, Joe.
Like if there was a band, there'll be five of him. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
he's gonna be joining us in about 2 minutes. But yeah, man, with the debate on last night and seeing that, I said that he shouldn't even have debated him. But I don't know if you can technically say I'm not debating. But
they had the wrong Christopher Wallace as the moderator.
Yeah, right.
They needed Biggie in there.
Yeah, they needed a woman. I think they needed a woman up there.
They need a woman, yes. Right?
A woman would have regulated that shit. Like, slow down. Like,
you know who they needed? Judge Judy.
Judge Judy would have fucked it all up fast.
Yeah, I want to take Gail King. Give me Gail King. Give me Gail King.
No. It's still quiet for Gail. Rest in peace, Kobe. Rest in peace, Kobe.
I agree with you with the Judge Judy. She don't take no bullshit.
Yeah.
Exactly, from nobody. That's the type of person you
need. Yes. So this is what we're going to do. Appreciate everybody on the check-in. Everybody tuned in. Follow us on all social media platforms at the Afterthought Podcast. We are live. I'm with my guy JP, my girl Tiff. This is what we're doing. You know, we got the finals coming on tonight. So it was imperative that we do this show in accordance with the chronologically. I don't know if that just made that
selfish
shit up.
sports lovers.
But we're going to get to that. So without any further ado, let's bring our first guest in. Brooklyn native, singer-songwriter, actor, producer, talented brother. Start clapping up. Give him a warm Afterthought Podcast welcome for Rick Wynn Herrera, y'all. Let's bring him in here right now. That's right, Facebook. Throw them thumbs up. Throw them up. There you go. What up?
What's up?
Hold on. Let me give you the official.
It was good.
Yo, what's up, Tip? What's up,
what
y'all?
Up, Ricardo?
What's up? Thanks for having me, guys.
First of all, I appreciate you taking the time out, taking the time out of life, all the stuff that we go into, the debate, life, politics, to come on here. Let's get right into it. I had the honor of just doing my research before we started. And some of your music is dope, bro. When I got the picture, I said, is this brother a part of a mariachi band? Because I saw the guitar. And then I heard it. I was like, yo, fire. The instruments, the live sound. So talk about the music and how did you get into the music and that start in your journey?
That started when I was around 13 or 14. I wanted to basically, I was in a church. Like my mom, we used to take me to the Spanish church, and that shit used to be whack because there was no music. So when she take me to the black mass, I was like, oh, this is dope. They got this little light of mine. Everybody's singing and like they dancing. So then I was mom, you gotta take me back to the black masses all the time. So then I guess the Spanish church heard about that because they wasn't bringing no heat because their shit was whack. And when I went, there was a dude playing guitar. And then I remember looking at the guitar and I remember instantly, I was like, I want to play that. So then after that, I went back to my mom and she, saved up some money. And then I picked up the guitar and I had this connection with it. And people like in high school, my teachers were teaching me little things here and there, but I started picking it up. And it was I always say it was a friend that will always be there for me. I can always leave it, but it was always be there. I could pick it up and go through a lot of things and go through these emotions and find answers. So yeah, so it started when I was 13. So it was like a journey, learning how to play. And after that, realizing that I had a voice or whatever, I liked to sing. And then I started creating shows and I was like, you know what, let me put this in my shows to share another part. I have another gift to show, share this journey. So it was like escalating from there through the years.
interesting too, and you being from Brownsville, that you know, mm-hmm. those that's tuning in, Brownsville in Brooklyn is one of the toughest hoods. And when I say tough, it's not just the stuff that goes on in the environment, the atmosphere, but that's a tough hood to come out of and grow up. Oh,
absolutely.
In. So talk about some of that, and how did that play into, you know, your journey, and how did that shape you a little bit?
It made me who I am. It made me street smart. Any place, there's a bad place, there's bad people anywhere, in any location you're at. So in my area, you know, I had to look over my shoulder. I had to make sure who was like, had the right, you know, means for me, who mm-hmm. wasn't, just like anything. But it taught me about survival, but it's taught me about there's a lot of good people out there. And also taught me too that like, I am not my environment. You know, I right, can come right. out of this if I believe in myself and stick to the people. But I was friends with everybody. The drug dealers, I would make them laugh and stuff like that. So they was cool with me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. So they like, he cool.
Yeah.
He cool.
So for me, I don't know, I feel like I always, I saw like I saw the struggles that every one of us had, but at the end of the day, we all struggled together, and I saw the human side to it. And I saw like, okay, well, I'm not going to sell drugs because I see that you get locked up, or I'm not going to use drugs because a lot of my friends was hooked on it. I saw I'm not going to be the gang life because you die from that, and I didn't want to die. So I was
exactly.
So I saw the good and bad from it. I said, well, let me keep on going. And I love the music. I love all types of music. So it shaped me to like who I am today of, you know, spreading love to people, giving back to the people from there, showing them that like you can do whatever you could do, you know, use this environment. You know, it fueled me for a lot of situations that like now if I'm ever in meetings or whatever, sometimes the Brooklyn would come out, I was like, all right, this guy's bullshitting me, I want to smack him. But it taught me so much that I wouldn't have it any other way. If like a higher power told me like, you know, you're gonna come back down and live another life, but you're gonna go back to Brooklyn, is that okay? I'm like, mm-hmm. absolutely, send me back there, give me a good family, which I did have, I'm knock on wood, but I would repeat the whole thing again because I had a lot of friends.
Shout out to Tiff, because you know we always trying to get different mixture. It's always important to get the right people on the Afterthought podcast or whatever we're doing and creating content. So I got to shout out Tiff. I know Tiff wants to jump in there and get in there and ask a question. Before that, where did you get the word, the nickname Wynn from?
Well, Wynn is my spiritual name. And then once I earned that spiritual name, I used it as my middle name. So then that's when everybody, you know, called me Wynn or Rick. So then I got it from like my spiritual teacher. She teaches spirituality, or just believing in yourself, knowing that you have a purpose and journey and breaking free from society and learning about, you know, ego, your pride, your insecurities, and working on yourself. So there's many years, I'm still her student, and she teaches all this for free. You know, there's no gimmicks. I always share about her, you know, where you could like look about her, get a session for free. And also she's in my shows because she was a big part of my growth of learning how to break free from a lot of negativity that was in my way, you know, and even from myself, and learning how to accept my family and also friends around me, and also these insecurities and fears and doubts that I had. And I had a lot of anger issues, and every now and then they come up, but she taught me how to deal with those things and find solutions to my problems in a positive way. So long story short, that's how I got my spiritual name, which is Spiritual Wynn. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to put this as my middle name too. I never had a middle name. So everybody was like, you got a middle name? I was like, nah. And then one day I was like, let me just use it. Rick Wynn Herrera.
It's all good. If you ain't got a middle name, right? If you ain't got a middle name, your parents ain't have time. Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. My mom was a freak, so she had three babies from three different dudes. So, I wasn't playing. So I could totally get it when she was like, you know what? Fuck it, Ricardo Herrera. Right.
Go ahead, y'all. Jump in there, Jay. Go ahead, Tim, for JP.
So I just want to say that I met Rick through Facebook, just like I met you through Facebook, Joe. Mm-hmm. I seen a podcast, because he does a podcast. So I seen a podcast, he was interviewing a young boy, really young kid.
Oh, yeah.
Is he an actor? I can't
remember. Yeah, his name is Avery. He's 13 years old, yeah.
And this little kid, like the conversation that they was having, this little kid was so, so charismatic, so brilliant. And you know me, I share everything. You know, I show everybody love, so I share his podcast. So that's how the relationship built from there. And he would give me advice, just like you, Joe. And we just talk and we just build our relationship through there. So I wanted to know, how did you get into comedy? You said you started music at 13. What inspired you, or what, you know, what inspired you to get into comedy? Was it that someone told you all your life you were funny, you was making the people in the neighborhood laugh and everything like that? So what got you started with comedy?
You know what's funny is like, you know, sometimes in life you get these messages and it's like, it could be right in front of your face and people always reminding you of certain things. And then it just, it does, one day it all clicks, but during that time it wasn't clicking. But I was always like the funny person and, you know, love making people laugh. It was like my outlet. And, you know, Eddie Murphy, watching him and the Wayans brothers and Martin, like those were the shows that groomed me. I even like, you know, white shows, Full House and stuff like that. But it was cool. You know, Danny Tanner, you know, so I was a fan of all that. So it was funny because like throughout high school, everyone was like, you're funny, funny. You should do this. You should do this. You should do this. And then one day, I think just not one day, but after high school was done, people always say, you should do stand-up comedy. And even afterwards, people like, you should do stand-up comedy. I didn't know that was a way of like either making a living or a career. I just thought making people laugh was just something you should do with your boys, right? Mm-hmm. So then learning about there was people that actually do stand-up and you can do it. I said every year, I think I was like in college now, every year I was like, all right, this is going to be the year. But I always psyched myself out because I'm going to be like scared to do it, whatever. In the normal
field. Right, right, right.
So then one day, one year I fucked up my knee and I had to get surgery. I had to do an ACL. So this is like a college break. I'm home. So that I have to be my mom. My mom at the time, we didn't have a great relationship. So he was like always on top of me, like, Ricky, you're going to break that fucking knee again? Like, Rick, like every time, like, me and her, was clashing. And I couldn't do anything. I had to just take it, right? So I'm growing this beard. I didn't feel like showering. I'm like depressed. I'm like, this is the worst summer ever. And then I said, someone texted me. He's like, yo, I was a friend of mine. He's like, yo, you ever done stand-up again? Are you going to do it? And I looked at that message and like clicked. I was like, you know what? I'm going to learn how to walk again because I had to go therapy. And I said, but my motivation to walk is because I want to do an open mic. Mm. So then during that process, I reached out to a guy named Sergio Ticong. I was looking up how much it is to do open mic.
I know, it's my guy, Sergio.
Yeah, $5 for 5 minutes. He was like, yo, he opened arms. He's like, yo, come do my show. But before you come on, go to Uncle Pudge, you know, stuff like, you know, warm up there. So I was like, all right, bet. So now I had a date. And now during those months, I was preparing in the house or whatever, but I was also training myself to learn how to walk. And then the day that happened, I was able to walk. I was like, all right, I guess tomorrow's the day.
Mm-hmm.
And went to do, and the rest was history. Like, I just remember the first 2 minutes, like hearing laughs and everything else, just like, I don't know if I did good after that. It's just a blur. Mm-hmm. And it was just this beautiful feeling like, oh shit, I just did that. And this is what I want to do.
Yeah. Comedy is like that. I've been doing comedy for about 13, 14 years. And that's one of the things, you're fighting against yourself to get up there. You know, a lot of it is you have it in you, and being on that stage, getting that stage presence. But a lot of it, like you said, you know, it's just getting past just doing it. You know what I'm saying? I think that's a perfect segue. You're an actor and you're a performer as well. You know, comedy and acting is very similar. There's a lot of emotions in that, and there's a lot of similarities in the crafts. You did a one-man show, multiple. This actually, you did a couple. It's called The Naked Truth. You received a bunch of awards for it. But talk to us about, like, how did you get to doing, like, I bet I'm going to put this show together. I don't need nobody. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be me. Because as comedians, we get like that. Like, you know what? I want to do an hour. You know what I'm saying? I might get an opener and a feature. But to do a one-man on some, what went into that production, putting that together?
It's so funny because, like, one of my speeches for the second show, I said, you may see me that I'm only up here by myself doing a one-man show, but what you don't see is the people behind me that made that happen. Because we only, of course, it's a one-man show, so you're going to be the only person up there. But there's so much work that goes on that people helped. And I had help, you know, just even from friends reading scripts or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I had a core of people.
Right.
I acknowledged them. So the inspiration for that show, honestly, you know, you've been doing comedy for like 14 years, right? So you probably go through these emotions of like, all right, it's fun in the beginning, and it always remained fun. But then something happens like, well, what am I saying on stage? What do I want? Am I just only going to talk about dick jokes? Well, they're funny, they're great, but I'm going to talk about dick jokes but make you think. And I started, something started like, I always saw like one-man shows, and I always told myself, I want to do it, I want to do it. And then it clicked. I said, well, I'm going to go after it and I'm going to do it. It was like a big dream of mine. And I reached a phase where I was learning from doing improv in the city and stuff like that, doing stand up, taking acting classes. I was doing music. So I said, how can I put all this together in one? And I'm to tell my story. Because not only do I want to make you laugh, but like I said, I want to make you think and take you on this journey because I know I'm capable of doing it because I'm doing it separately. But now how can I do it as one? And I'm doing these auditions and they're whack because I'm not a drug dealer. I'm not a rapist. I'm not being portrayed.
You don't get
the description. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm not being portrayed this way. So then it was like my fuck you to the world of Hollywood or whatever. It's like, well, I'm going to create my own lane and I want to do what I love and I'm going to create this one man show. Now it started as that inspiration, but it took me on a journey of a lot of things that I had to face. And I remember I felt like, oh, I want to show people, you know, lessons and stuff like that, but there's no way they would have learned under that if I didn't learn anything first. So by doing the show and writing every day and crying and laughing and reminiscing, I was able to create something that not only made you laugh but made you cry, made you think, made you relate. But it started with me first. And I, instead of me putting pressure on myself to be like, I want this show to be this, this, and that, I quickly started learning that this show was for me. It's not for anybody else. It's not for my family. It's for me. And then I had help from my spiritual teacher because she directed it. I had also my spiritual brother, Victor Cruz. He helped me with like reading some of the drafts. So I had people there that was like looking it over. But at the end of the day, it had to come from me. I had to do it first. And also that it was possible to do it because I knew I could do it. And so, yeah, the rest was history, man. I started working on my singing. I started working on the guitar playing. I started just dishing this out. It was very therapeutic. I learned a lot. And each show, I learned something different and something new from the different phase that I'm sharing. So it started off of just like, I want to do that. But then it just took its own course and gave me so much more that I didn't think I need, and it helped me.
I want to say that show, when I watched it, I wasn't there for the process, but whatever you wanted, whatever you went through in your process, the laughing, the crying, and I went through it too, watching it. I laughed, I cried. I'm not Spanish, but I grew up in Spanish Harlem. So everything that you talked about, and I lived in that, I lived it, and it was just so, so relatable. And then it just showed me too how much Hispanic parents and Black parents are the same. So some of the things that you were saying and how they discipline their kids, it's a little bit different. Y'all pull ears, you know, our parents, you know, grab a belt or a switch. But it was just so much that I can relate to because I grew up in Spanish Harlem. My next door neighbors was Puerto Rican, and it was beautiful. I laughed, I cried. It was all of that.
You know what? So
you got to watch it.
It's so funny because like that was something that I like, that means the world to me. Not is that when someone relates to it and say, wow, you know, I was angry too. You helped me learn something. Or I know this type of person that you was talking about. I started quickly realizing no matter if you're Black, white, purple, yellow, we all go through a similar human experience. Whether you hate someone, angry about some, have resentment, whatever, we all feel those things. And we all, the solutions is pretty much similar to everything that we're going through. Learning how to let go of fears, learning how to embrace things, learning how to take responsibility and not putting the blame on people. You know what I'm saying? Put the finger to yourself and you make the change. So I started learning all those things like, wow. Because it's always shocking when someone like, oh, I cried too. Or, man, I related. It's like, wow. Then like almost in a sense, like, was you with me? It feels like, well, you probably was there. It felt like you was there with me going through this stuff. But everybody has their own journey that's very similar to that. So Tiff, thank you, man, because you always show love, and our relationship grew naturally. Like automatically we clicked. We just talking, sharing advice, stuff like that. And I was like, I felt like I knew her like forever. So
go ahead, Jay.
Rick, I got a question for you, bro. You're a Brooklyn native, and I've watched you curate so much content, just doing my research, learning about you, hearing from Tiff. And I'm like, all right, not really what's next, but what are you looking to potentially curate for not only just yourself, but maybe for others, like production-wise, whether music on a stage, like what do you what do you want to get into as far as those are concerned?
I mean, I would love to, you know, eventually, you know, I'm still going to keep writing these one-man shows, and I eventually want to, if I build a platform, to share with other people as well, to join the ride, and if they're serious about it, you know, and like either to create films and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like a lot of the things, like when it comes down to it, you can have talent, but the work ethic is what's going to take you there. You know, you could be the funniest motherfucker in the room, but if you don't have, if you don't want this and you don't have the drive and the motivation to do and the work ethic, you're not going to go as far as you think you could. And I feel like that's a key thing that a lot of people now in this generation, I feel like that those things, they feel like they earned, they deserve those things without even working for it. It's like, nah, these things are earned. So like, for instance, like the platform where me and my wife created, like I felt like, the podcast that we created, the Wimp and then Cloud podcast, that started off something where it was another fuck you to the world, where I would reach out to podcasts to be a guest because I like what they was doing, and I feel like I feel like I would love to be on the podcast as a guest. And long story short, I would get these silent no's, and I'm like, it's simple, just say yes or no in the email. You're not gonna break my heart,
right?
Like,
right,
I don't understand the communication. Like, just say yes or no. So that happened, and I finally said, well, fuck you, I'm gonna create my own platform, I'm gonna create my own podcast and go from there. And then I said, well, what is this gonna be about? And I started thinking about everybody that like influenced me, not even on the TV screen. I feel like we give select too much power, and where, like, for instance, Joe, I could be inspired by you doing this, you too, John and Tiff, and I'm like, what about those people, the firefighter, my mother, whatever, they have a story to tell, and they don't have a light to share it. So I was like, well, that's what the podcast is gonna be about. Yeah, we love the artists as well, but we're gonna get anyone in there. You could be a father. My friend was a father who was in a bad neighborhood too, was a drug dealer, all that stuff. Changed his life around once he had a son, because he says, I was a great drug dealer, but now I want to be a great father. I was like, dude, you got to be on the show, because that was great. So I built a platform to be like, I want to shine a light on these people, whoever, that have a positive story to tell. I don't care if it gets likes. I don't care if it goes viral. But it's what they get from it. They're like, man, this is therapeutic. I learned so much. I didn't know that my life had meaning in this type of way, that anyone cared. And I'm like, well, the first person you should care about is you. All I'm doing is a mirror. I'm showing you what you can show yourself. And thank you for sharing your journey. So yeah, John, I just want to keep creating content that has purpose and substance, that only makes you laugh, but makes you think. And I love all types of comedy, but for me, I just want to do a mixture of both and make sure that whatever I put out there is going to reach you in some type of way, and not only just, you know, laughing that it's gone tomorrow. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
Agreed.
First of all, I appreciate you. You know that. Shout out to everybody on the check-in, all the people throwing the thumbs up and showing the love on Facebook. We got my guy Rick Herrera here, Brooklyn native on the Afterthought podcast. We got you for another 5-6 minutes. I got two good ones for you, right?
All right.
People probably know you through what is comedy, music, producing, songwriting, but name something that you love to do that nobody probably would know about. One thing you love to do that people wouldn't even know unless they know you. I got them thinking, y'all. I got them thinking.
That's a good one. I like cutting hair. I like cutting hair. Like in college, that was my side hustle. I used to have my boys in the bathroom, no homo. And I used to get their shape ups and their haircuts ready so they could go out and chill. And I used to make like $5-$10 or whatever. But I actually like that shit. Like, you know, like it was so therapeutic. I put music on. I'm chatting with them. But I like cutting hair. I
was gonna say, Tip, he ain't lying, because he got the talc powder in the back. Plus he got. I'll sell you a T-shirt.
You see my
T-shirt? You
want to
sell me a shirt on the way out?
Is that the barber cool? Is that the spray next to you?
Hold on.
We going to get our cuts.
I got the powder, man. Yo, I ain't fucking around, yo. I'm official, bro.
Yo, that's love. That's love.
Don't let me pop the suitcase on y'all. Don't make me.
He got the gloves. He got the black gloves. He got the
Clippers. I got you. Whatever you need. I even got A&D if I scrape you a little bit.
Let me tell you something. Laughter is so important, bro. And before you promote what you got going on, what you got coming up, before we get right on a serious note, you said something earlier. We all can relate to. You said something down the lines of, I don't remember exactly how you said it, but you said something. We all going through something similar, no matter what color, no matter what we look like, where we live. Talk to us about how you feeling outside of everything you're doing as a human being. Like, how does it make you feel sitting back and watching what's going on around you in the world from a human being standpoint?
Yeah, I think it's very, there's a couple things. It's frightening. It's sad. It's very, not confusing, because I feel like that we've been seeing a lot of this stuff for years, but it's getting worse. So it's like alarming. So it's like you can feel it in the air. You can see it wherever, you know, how even like a lot of things are being shared on social media from people are dying from the police and stuff like that. So, you know, it's very heavy. And sometimes it's very tough to even talk about it, like even with people, because even people have their own type of way of trying to either sometimes defend it or agree with it or not. So it's like, I just stay in my bubble. I feel what I feel and, you know, pray and hope for the best and know that, like, I'll be the example. Like, if I want to see more goodness in this world, then I'll be that example. So, like, if I ever meet you, you know, John or Tiff, you know, I give y'all a hug, you know, make sure how y'all guys are doing and stuff like that. Because that's the only thing I'm in control of, to be honest. You know, I'm not in control of the politics, what's going on, the people behind the suits that we don't know what they're doing controlling this world. I'm not even in control if I get stopped by a cop, right? Because, like, I just got to fight. So it's like I'm just in control of myself and what I can do to make things better for me and the people around me. So I kind of, like, stick to that and try to make be a difference that way. But, you know, even for me, it's tough to see a lot of these things all the time, because without even if you're not even reading into it, just by you looking at it, it stays with you. And your brain is, like, powerful, man. So, and also... You feel it too, even if you're not watching it. If you see being around those people, so it's like I try to just do my best, man, and take it one day at a time. And I just hope for the best, because it's sad to see what these things are going and how a lot of people affected, you and I, and where things are going. And it seems like, well, it's getting worse, and it might keep on getting worse. When will it get better? And it's like almost there's a question mark behind that. So,
well, I appreciate you, man. Afterthought Podcast, my guy, Rick Wynn Herrera. Tell the people, how can we follow you? How can we support you? And what you got coming up, brother?
You can follow me at RH Comedy. Also, the podcast is the Wynn in Cloud Podcast. That's on Instagram as well. And my website, rhcomedy.com. Or you can reach out to me on Facebook, and I'll share the show with you and stuff like that. Currently, what I'm working on is, you know, we're recording episodes weekly. For the podcast, and I was working on my third one-man show. I'm still working on it, but it was supposed to be released this year, but the pandemic, whatever happened. So now I'm just, like, you know, waiting to see when, what's the right time for next year.
It's coming back, though, bro.
Yeah, when we can perform.
I'm coming to that third one, bro.
You have to let us know when that show is.
We in there, support,
yeah. I'm in there.
Thank you.
See you live.
And I got you in the haircuts, Joe and John. So, you know what I'm saying, right before the show?
Well, sometimes I like a haircut, too,
bro. Yo, I can braid you up, girl. I'm going to learn that next. I'll braid you up. I can do those cornrows.
You know that. Well, yo,
but brother, thank you guys for having me. I truly appreciate it. It was a lot of fun, man. It was dope.
Thank you, man. A pleasure meeting you.
Thank you.
I think what you're doing, man, is special. Keep it up.
Keep grinding, bro. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Well, that's Rick Herrera. Give it up for him. Give it up for him, y'all. Come on. Facebook Live. What up, Jay? Antonio, what up? Yo, dope dude.
He's dope, right?
You know, that's my
first time actually, like, speaking to him like that. Usually it's just text or Facebook. But
right.
I never met him in person. Just dope.
You know what? Shout out to Zoom for bringing motherfuckers together.
Right.
And I've done that as well. You meet some amazing people under the circumstances that we in. One more time, make sure you follow him. RH Comedy, Rick Herrera, the Winning Cloud Podcast. He's doing something amazing. He's a singer-songwriter. Show him some love. And some of his music is fire, man. I was listening to it. I didn't get to listen to all of it. That's why I said something. What I listened to already, I was like, I got to throw that on a playlist for when I'm in the car, because you know I'm R&B.
You know the Wepa guy? Those songs back in the days, the Spanish guy that'd be like, Wepa. Remember that?
I remember.
That's his cousin.
I just start thinking of Lumi D.
Oh.
when
I think he did a song with them. He, you know, they sampled his sample that. Like, I think,
Joe, did you just go all the way from Wet Pie to Lumi D?
Yeah, Lumi D. I said I did.
But I got a confession.
Since we got 3 minutes before Bruce Leroy, I used to date a rising R&B singer of a very infamous group. Yeah, I remember the group Nina Sky.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
Oh, with Natalie?
Nah, I used to date Nicole. This was like early 2000s. This is like college. They are twins. They're identical twins. And they had a bunch of songs. They had the joint with Rick Ross. They had the joint with Lumi D. Cypher Sounds, I believe, produced them. Had them on tour and all that good stuff. But
yeah.
So I had to, that was the same era, that Lumi D, Nina Sky.
Oh, you missed Nicole?
You said what? What you said?
Don't look like he missed Nicole. You missed Nicole?
Not at all. Damn sure not at all. Not at all, Tiff. I just, when you said Lumi D, I was like, oh, God. But while you think about it, a lot of those artists from that era are nowhere to be found. Lumi D, where's Lumi D at right now? Like, other than that, where's she at? They don't got no hits.
Hold up, Joe. Uh-oh. Where'd she go?
Yeah, you're stupid. I'm just saying. Oh, man. So yeah, we getting ready to bring our second guest in here in about 2 minutes. This is my guy representing Minnesota. Those that know Minnesota, they know one thing. It's cold and a motherfucker out there. It's one of those cold states. He's a comedian, father, photographer, and he does yoga. That's right. He teaches yoga and it runs a dope community space and all types of other stuff out there where he's teaching health and wellness. So we're gonna bring him in a minute. But I want to ask y'all about something. He does this dope thing called the 50-Day Water Challenge. And me and Tiff was talking about it. We're going to talk to him about that when he comes in. But can y'all go 50 days with just drinking water?
Just water, no food.
Just water. Just
no
water.
No food?
Jay can. Nah. He got brunch. So I know he can't. I know he can't.
Just water? See, that's a trick question.
Whenever you start a sentence with C, I know you ain't gonna be able to do it. See,
because I'm about to be politically correct. You cannot say, I can't say I can't, because you're supposed to be able to do anything you put your mind to, right?
Exactly. There you
go. So I gotta see if I can put my mind to it. That's the question. Say, can you put your mind to drinking just water for 50 days? You gotta rephrase the question.
Before we bring them in, what do you think, Jay? And you, Jay?
Thank you, Jay.
You say,
let me say something. I drink water and sparkling water aside from
niggas ain't asking you occasionally. Can you do it for 50 days? No,
I gotta eat, bro. I gotta eat.
All right, so look, we're gonna talk. We're gonna bring him in right now. But this is a challenge. I think we should do this. We should do our own water challenge, and we're gonna have Bruce talk to us a little more. So let's start clapping. Let's bring him in here the right way. Let's get my Afterthought Podcast welcome. Facebook, let's go. Welcome my guy, Mr. Bruce Leroy Williams in the building. There you go.
I see him.
He got the green screen. Bruce, I see you got the green screen, boy. I see you, boy.
You see me. Okay. But you know what? After we remix it, when we edit it down,
right,
like a mansion back here. It's gonna be a whole. It's gonna be a spiral staircase down there. They're gonna be like, damn.
You have seven Maybachs in the background. Yes, yo, this is my brother right here from Minnesota, Bruce Leroy. Before I introduce you the right way, you know, I was telling my grandmother I had a podcast and I got Bruce Leroy coming on. She thought it was the nigga from Last Dragon. I said, it's not him.
Mike was the first ninja.
Yeah.
Ninja.
Nah, he's better than that. This is my guy, Bruce Leroy Williams. I met him down in Atlanta a couple years ago. We were kicking it with our guy, Mario Torre. And we just kicked it the whole weekend doing shows. And he's been flourishing in the comedy world and in life. So I had to get him on. What's good, man? How you feeling, man? How's everything with you, man?
Hey, man, I'm better than good, less than perfect. I'm out here moving and shaking. I appreciate you having me. Yeah. What's up? Tiff, what's good?
Yeah. What's up?
I'm going to jump right into it. Yeah. Before we get to the jobs and the hustles, you're a father, like me, a parent as well. How has that been with everything going on with just, you know, life and, you know, with the pandemic and everything?
You get to know your kids a lot better. You definitely get to know your kids because you're with them a lot more. Usually, like, because my kids are school age and daycare age, at least. So they're gone for the majority of the day. And then at the end of the day, you kind of, like, get to absorb them before they go to bed. But now they're all day. Or during the summer, they was there all day. So you get to know your kids. You be like, oh, this one your ass.
You trying to do yoga. I'm trying to keep it peaceful. Y'all running around
that's
the house.
That's why you do yoga.
What's going on? Man, you ever see him sitting in front of that tablet, boy? He be looking at everything. You be like, right here. Look right here. Pay attention to right here.
Yeah. And those that don't know and that just checking, this my guy. He's a comedian, stand-up comedian. Hilarious. How did you get started in comedy, bro? I know we probably chatted, but I don't think I got to ask you that when we were kicking it. How'd you get started?
I believe somebody took me to an open mic and they signed me up. And they was like, Bruce. Like, Bruce Leroy. I was like, somebody else got my name. Like, no, fool you. And so I went up there. I was shaking the whole time. But I heard that I was making people laugh. Yeah. So I was like, yo, I can do this for real if I just, you know, actually, like, try to, like, you know, do it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I played around with it for maybe, like, you know, 2 or 3 years. Like, not seriously. Just, like, you know, maybe get booked for a show because my homie is throwing it. Maybe go to one or two open mics in a year. And open the comedy club.
Right.
That gave me the opportunity to do it multiple times in a week. Multiple times in a day, and then you actually get the ability to tell a story and build and learn how to work the energy of the crowd, all that. Yeah. You can't do that if you only do it a couple times.
That's a fact.
You gotta be in front of a crowd to actually know how to, like, you know, turn it into a dialogue rather than you up there giving a monologue.
Yeah. You have a interesting balance. For somebody that does comedy, you do yoga. And when I say that's an intricate balance, because I think a lot of comedians do need yoga. I know Tiff was like, that's why he does yoga. So how did you get into that? How did you start that journey? And how did you get to fast forward helping others? And I see you doing it the way you got people coming out in the bunches and 50 and hundreds coming out to do yoga. How did you get to where you started to where you at now? That's amazing.
So I got a background in athletics. Mm-hmm. I was always an athlete. I was always an athlete, two-sport athlete through college. So
yes,
I always had, like, flexibility and strength.
Yep.
I found yoga on, you know how you be at the gym and you see a pretty girl. You don't necessarily follow her, but you know which way she went. You know how you
right,
see
right. It. You know,
it was a whole bunch of fine women going, like, around this little back corner, okay, in the gym. And so, like, one day I was like, you know, I got to do a walk by. I got to know what's over in this back corner. And so I did a walk by, and when I walked past, I could see, like, the lights was low. I could smell, like, eucalyptus and tea tree. I was like, there's something special going on. It was beautiful women, aged, ranging from age, like, 20 to, like, 90. and that's how I discovered yoga. I ended up following somebody in there. And then when I got in there, I'm an athlete already. Like I said, I'm a two-sport athlete. So I'm thinking, just stretching, you know. But she was having me engage different things that I had never really paid attention to. And by the end of the class, like, I was hurting in places I had never used before.
Mm.
The next day, I felt like I could fly. I was like, oh yeah, this is something that I definitely need to add into my daily, you know, routine. Not even my daily routine. I need to know this. I need to do this a lot more. And then since then, the movement of yoga kind of just opens up doors to the other pieces and parts of what yoga is.
Oh, I agree. I think a lot of us have been home. Like the rest of us.
You get to see yourself right now.
Exactly. And plus, it's always been different.
At work, it might be an experience that, you know, is heavy for you.
Yeah.
Yoga was something that I had discovered a while ago, which allowed me to start the journey in doing that work.
Exactly. And it's, and you know what's dope too? I think you, you being a father, your kids see you putting in that work for the better, for the greater good. So I think it's gonna only rub off on them as well. But before I talk about the, you know, the yoga for dads, what sports did you play in? You said you played two sports. What sports you played?
Yeah, I was a cornerback and a sprinter. So, you know. You know,
interceptions all day. All pick six all day.
I couldn't catch the line in front. I couldn't catch nothing. I batted down. I had all the people.
Let me tell you something. To know that you were a cornerback and now to see everything it is that you've done, to be a cornerback, you have to have the most fearless attitude in the world.
That's right.
To play that position, you have to be fearless. You have to be tough. You can't let the last play bother you.
Yeah.
And to know that, it makes sense now. To see all the things that you're a part of, how you're a leader, your bravery, your ability to just say, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to do it.
Fact.
Like, that type of mentality is different. So, makes sense, and kudos to you. Like, what do you think about, like, what part of football do you think?
I know you play ball, too, because you know that. Because I ain't never and to realize, like, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, that is a different type of person on the field.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
Tiff don't watch sports. She's like, I don't know what y'all talking about right now.
I got questions about yoga.
Go ahead. Talk to us about, yes, perfect segue. I'm going to go with Tiff and then and tie that into the yoga with dads and talk to us about
the time. Ahead, Tiff. I already knew she was going to ask it.
Go ahead, Tiff.
So I want to know, can you tell us some of the health benefits and mental benefits of yoga? Also, I would like to know, what is the misconception and stigmas with on men that do yoga?
So health benefits are vast. A lot of different health benefits. One, I would say, just being able to move. One thing that happens to humans is when you get older, you stop moving and you stop being able to move. So being able to like practice and engage things and keep your body mobile is keeping you healthy, keeping you vital, okay? Some of the misconceptions about men that do yoga is that there are no men that, think about yoga, like, growing up seeing yoga in the media, it was always white women with the pastel, you know, like the pastel tights on, you know,
that's
all. If you did see a man, it was an old Indian dude, and so you never saw super old Indian dude, and that's what I saw. I was the first man that I saw, and so I'm like, okay. And they was always doing some wild shit, like some crazy hard shit, and I was like, yo, he brown, so maybe.
He brown.
So I think that just the fact that we're in there. I mean, I remember going into that class, following that young lady into that class, and maybe there was one other man in there.
See,
maybe like now it's a little bit more well known. And so maybe there's, you know, three or four men in the class of 30.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very slim as far as the numbers go. And that's one of the reasons why I do yoga for dads, so that I can be a representation, because representation is super important.
Yeah.
If I can be a representation and show people like yoga is something dope. Like the yoga that I do, like the stuff that I like to practice and play with, is like some hard shit. Like it's not
right.
It's not easy. So just what made it interesting for me was that I can see like an infinite amount of growth. Like I can't see a limit to what you can do with your body inside of yoga. So I'm like, that excites me to, I can always grow in this practice.
So do you think like men with yoga is kind of like the same thing with men in the church or like spirituality? You see more women do in church, more women in yoga. Is it a thing where men don't think that they need to get in touch with their spirituality because they're masculine?
It's gender roles. We all grew up on these same gender roles. Women are the the gender role that brings spirituality into the household. Men are the worker, you know, and that's another part of it. Is just like the word dad in men is associated to work, being gone, relationships that don't build fully and completely. And so like now, all of those gender roles are out the window because of technology and the advancement of society. So like we're able to do so many different things. Like I can literally be on the phone with four people video conferencing across the country. Mm-hmm. So that that in itself makes relationships different. And so we have to kind of readjust some of the understandings of how we need to move to keep ourselves together, functional out here, especially with shit going the way it is right now.
Right.
Crazy. And speaking of with everything going on right now, what's your take on it? The debate was on last night. It looked like my great grandfather versus my great uncle. They was just not getting nowhere. We couldn't, like Tip was saying, we couldn't even hear the things that Joe Biden was trying to propose and his thing. So how does it make you feel with the politics and everything in the state of our country right now?
I'm not a fan of none of that. And literally, I've been disconnected. Like, I've been working, period, doing yoga. I've been teaching. I've been working on my content, working on my curriculum. I own a digital media company, so I've been creating content for other people.
Nice.
I'm so disconnected from all of that that it don't even bother me until I see it like on Facebook. So that's why I have to be like very careful with my social media, like how much I'm on there and what I'm doing on there, because that's another form of consumption. That's another stimulant that, like, literally, like I said, I do 50 days of water, and I said on 50 days of water, like, y'all don't see me on here as much because, excuse me, every time I do 50 days of water, I do it 3 times a year. Every time I do 50 days of water, it's a video of a black man being killed by the police. I don't want to see that. Like, I don't want that. I can't keep seeing that. And so if you see me disconnected with this, like, it's because it's very easy.
That's
you're drinking water. You know, not you're going to go through it with yourself. You're going to be peeing. You know, you're just going to watch yourself. So it's very easy. It's free.
Peeing is stressing.
Yes.
It's free. Like, I don't have to do anything. I can give you a little bit of information. I can send you down a rabbit hole. But I can't, you know, I'm not. You shouldn't be looking for me for the facts. You should be looking for me for the pieces of information that you can then go do your own research.
And make it your own. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm going to give you this, and then I'm getting up out of here because I can't be here that long.
You know what's interesting? I was talking to Tiff about the 50 days of days
man,
of water challenge.
You going to have somebody pass out out here.
Yeah, you heard me, right? He was like, listen, we be like 30 pounds walking around New York City.
Bro, Jesus went 40 days and 40 nights. He got the record. Man, I'm cool with him having that.
But no, how did you come up with that challenge? How did that start? What was the motivation behind it? And what were some of the trials and tribulations doing that?
And what does it include?
Yes. Okay.
50 days of water. 50 days of water.
I missed all of it.
What it is for 50 days, your only beverage is water. Okay.
You can eat. I can do that.
However you eat before you can eat. But I would advise that you just pay more attention to what it is you're eating. Try to make a lifestyle shift. The whole goal is to create a lifestyle change. And you do things like this for an extended period of time. It's muscle memory. Your brain is a muscle. So you create a habit, and then you'll come back to that when you need it. You'll know that it's there. Okay. You can also have tea, but you can't put like sugar or any type of sweetener in there.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Okay? Lemon.
Lemon, yeah.
Cucumbers, all that.
These are good for you as well. Okay, and so it started from when my first child was born. Like, I was super busy. I had started a business. I started at first it was just a photography business. And I had a new daughter, and I worked a full-time job, and so I was pounding Red Bulls. The big Red Bull that you got to go to the gas station.
You're lucky you didn't have a heart attack.
You got to go to the Wawa to get it.
Drinking them to where, like, they were just for flavor. Like, I was, like, having one with dinner. And I was like, I know better. And I'm like, you know what? I need to do something. I'm going to do 100 days. I'm just going to drink water. And I was like, nigga, chill out. bring it back. Let's do 50 days.
I was going to say 100 is a lot.
And I posted it online, and that is where the accountability factor set in, because people were like, oh, that's dope. I'm going to do it with you. And then now I look and I got like 12 people in the list on Facebook saying that they're going to drink water with me for 50 days. So I'm leading something now. I'm like, damn, now I got to do shit. And so we went through 50 days. It was an interesting process, because basically what it is a slight detox. It is a reset of your palate. It is your mind kind of just starting to process that you're trying to change something. If something is becoming different about how you're moving, especially because there are people who don't drink water.
Right, I don't know where those people come from.
I don't know where they come from, Tiff.
They think when you go to the restaurant and they sit that glass on you, they think that's like for decoration. That's just a ceremony. That
it's a decoration.
You're supposed to eat. They ain't supposed to drink. That's a... So there's people, like I had a dude say that like he got like in trouble like internally and he had to go to the hospital. But what he was telling the doctor was like, I ain't had a glass of water in like 7 years. It's just been like,
wow,
any and juice. So just creating those type of habits are things that start you in the direction of like inserting little disciplines into your life, really. Because 50 days of water led to me doing being vegan, because I was like, yo, I need to make this harder. Because the first time I did it, I ended up going 100 days. Because I did 50 days, I was like, yo, this is not that hard.
Once you stop drinking the sugar, you don't want it anymore.
I couldn't drink. Like, I was Simply's Lemonade gangster. Like, I kept five or six of them in the freezer. Simply's Lemonade. Mango, all strawberry. I was geeked when they dropped them. I couldn't drink it no more. Mm-hmm. I could taste all the chemicals. I could taste everything that wasn't natural inside of the beverage. And so it just changed the way that I move. It changed what was in my refrigerator. And it just sends you on a different trajectory. So you might just be...
I'm going to attempt it. We're going to attempt it. As a team.
Well, tomorrow is the first. So are we starting tomorrow?
I got a comedy show Friday, and I need a double shot before I close the show. So.
But we could jump right back in. If y'all want to do it, we could jump back in and go day one tomorrow.
Listen. Hold on. Let's talk about this. You know how some people are we really about to do this?
You know, I mean, the excuses, they'd be like, okay, can I do 49? Because I got a trip planned and it's my husband.
Right. Yeah.
We going to talk.
I did 40 days, no meat, no sugar, and obviously I drank all water.
How did you feel when you did that, though?
For the first 2 weeks, it was tough because my body went through a detox. So I got like, I had body aches. It's like flu-like symptoms because your body is detoxing everything. Mm-hmm. I had a sinus infection because all the mucus is leaving. All the inflammation has got a detox out of your system. But after that, it just felt so, so good. My skin was nice. I felt lighter. I lost inches. Went to Jamaica and fucked it all up because I had to have the curry. I had to have the jerk chicken.
That's the problem. My body, listen, my mind is saying, let's do this 50-day challenge. But my body is like, nigga, pour a shot right now, nigga. You know what I'm saying? But I'm gonna attempt it. I'm gonna attempt it.
This is good.
I need to do it.
Go ahead, Jay.
It's something that gives you a perspective on like how you handle things. Because it's like when you challenge yourself, it's like yoga. Like the things that you experience on the mat are the same things that you experience in life. If you're distracted by everything that's going on, or you're hearing the words and the music and it's fucking up your flow, or you looking at the girl around, like them are the same things that's come happening to you in your life. Those are the same things that are affecting your
body. Bruce, to your point, Bruce, I just finished doing a 30-day, no carbs, no sugar. I did it in June. Yeah. Like start of pandemic, you know, I was like, I'm not doing nothing. People having Zoom parties, drink here, drink there. My birthday was in April. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't celebrate. It was like I was getting up, walking to the kitchen, walking to the living room, back to the bedroom, it was a mess. And I was like, you know what? I got to flip this. My friend was like, yeah, we about to just say no carbs. And I literally cut, and I made it even stricter. So I went no carbs, no sugar, only water, no liquor, only lean proteins.
Yeah.
And I dropped 17 pounds like that.
Mm-hmm. Your body is always going to heal itself, no matter
and
what.
And I felt so much better. I was walking like 2.5 miles minimum a day. And it just, you really push yourself to do things. And my body felt the way that it hasn't felt in years. And I was like, your kept it up.
Your mind too, because you start to think different. You start to look at the mirror, reflex it in the mirror. So like
true. You do get some clarity.
Yeah.
You get cranky because sugar is a drug. It's worse than cocaine. So
that's a fact.
And water.
When you detox that damn sugar, you will flip the fuck out on somebody. They got you gotta isolate.
Water is the element for creativity.
Yes.
Water is the element for creativity. It's the sacral chakra element. So when you increase your water intake, it will then start to help you clear like water or writer's block.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a fact. And clarity is important too. I think that's what it is, especially in comedy. And going back to the comedy. This brother, you know, Bruce, always is a regular, him and his squad, at the Rick Bronson's House of Comedy out there in Minnesota. And I peeped something on his website, if you get a chance, legendarybruce.com. Show some love. He got some dope merch on there, too. You got a blog on there that says, My Favorite Three Comedians. And I noticed you had Kevin Hart, Sinbad, who's a legend, and you had Eddie Murphy. So I'm going to play devil's advocate with you. I want to know, who is your three favorite female comics of all time?
Ooh, Monique.
Ooh, Adele. That was a good one. That was a good one.
Yeah, Adele and...
Adele is a classic, too. I saw her on the Def Jam special on Netflix. She was still funny on that.
Third one.
We got Monique, Adele Givens.
I know who I want to say.
I'm gonna come to y'all next because I want to know y'all female favorites as well.
Because
you
I like
to come back. You want me to come back, Bruce?
I want to think of somebody that is like Monique is has a range as far as like
right
and being able to be on stage. But I want to think of somebody that has something like specific outside of just their stage stuff, because that's the reason. Like, look at my three. I give reason to why.
You did a breakdown.
Sinbad introduced me to the comedy special, and then he did a comedy special at a HBCU. Like,
facts. Show did.
He did it twice.
He did it twice. He sure did. Yep.
But he filmed it and he released that to the world. Like, you got to be a beast to do that.
Yep.
And it's hard just because, like, look at what he's done. Basically, Eddie Murphy.
Super curator. Yeah. Kevin Hart.
Yeah. So come back to me. Let me.
All right. I'm gonna go. Me and I'm gonna go to Tiff then JP. I'm gonna go Whoopi. Whoopi Goldberg. I'm gonna take it back. Y'all ready for this? Lucy. I love Lucy. Now I'm saying her because when you in the hood coming up in the Bronx in the late 80s, early 90s, we didn't have cable like that. Single mother, three boys. But WB 11 late night with the Honeymooners and I Love Lucy. Yo, Lucy, to me, I said I would have loved to see her do stand up, you know, in that day of time. And Cara Burnett. Cara Burnett.
That's what
funniest.
Cara Burnett. I was gonna say her too.
But Whoopi, because Whoopi kind of introduced black women like comedians to be in movies. Sister Act. Remember when she was in Eddie? She coached the Knicks. Like that. Yeah. Those are classic movies. But yeah, Tiff, go ahead. Name some females that you like.
Well, I like Monique. I love some more. She's so cool. She's like the Bernie Mac, the female Bernie Mac. She's so.
That's a fact.
You know who's funny? Joan Rivers.
Of course.
Fucking crazy.
Her talk show is crazy.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, but did you see her stand up on Netflix?
It was good. That shit was good.
Yeah.
That shit was good.
So that I like them. I can't say those are my favorite because I don't have favorites.
Right.
I like who I like.
All right, Jay, who you got?
I think a lot of people mentioned a lot of good ones. You know, one person who I loved, like Def Comedy Jam tapes, and I can show you, I still actually have them. Sheryl Underwood. Talk about back in the day.
That pocketbook. You see that pocketbook is going down.
Sheryl Underwood was funny.
Sheryl Underwood was raw.
Yeah.
I love, you know, more recently, I want to say Gina Yashir.
Oh, yeah. Representing the UK.
Yeah. I don't
like
British.
That. I don't like it.
It's the accent barrier, probably, for you.
Accent for me. She's
hilarious.
I don't like comedians that just do so much screaming. They give me PTSD. I'm like, hell, fuck out. Pressing me to fuck out.
Yeah. You know who else I saw too in person? And I used to not think she was so funny, but I saw her in person at Barclays, and she really surprised. I don't even want to say surprised. She's a vet. Was Adele Givens.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's what Booth just said. Yeah.
Adele was so funny when I was at the Martin's last.
Such a fucking lady. That was
She's a vet.
She tore it down.
Yeah. So
he tore it down.
So, Bruce, I want to ask you this. You've gotten to do comedy. How long you been doing comedy exactly? Let the people know. How long?
I say probably like around 10 years now.
10 years. And out of all your 10 years, who was somebody that you met that you were just like, I don't normally get like this, but I'm going to be a groupie right now. I'm just a fan. Like, because we all have that. Mine was Mike Epps. I got to chill with him. I got to hang out with Mike Epps. Shout out to Marcus Banks. And I was just like super geeked. I forgot where I was at. But who's yours?
I can't say I had anybody that, I mean, I did the Kevin Hart thing, and I can't say that I was like, I'm gonna be a groupie, but I wanted to be in his energy field. I wanted to see how he moved. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see how the people around him move so that I could absorb some of that energy. I was like, he number one, so yeah, I definitely want to be around
him. Right. Well,
everybody, like, for me, like, I study comedy, but I might not know who everybody is, or I might not be paying attention to everybody. So I don't be, you know, like, it's not, I'm not starstruck that easy.
Right.
Everybody knows Kevin Hart is. And so
that's a fact. That's a fact.
Being that energy field.
Well, yo, first of all, shout out to everybody on the check-in. Shout out to my brothers on the check-in. Afterthought Podcast, kicking it with my guy, Bruce Leroy Williams, JP, and Tiff. Before we get you out of here and you know, promote what you got coming up, I like to drop some wellness, some positivity. If you got a comedian that's watching, you've been doing it for, you know, at least a tenure. You've already hit the tenure. What advice would you give to a young comedian trying to get into the game, or a young, you know, comedy producer? What's some advice you would give them watching?
Keep creating, and save your creations. Record yourself, write it down. And then go back and look at those notes, because there's stories inside of there that you forget about and you might never come back to. Or you'll say something, or you'll come up with a concept that's really dope and you might never come back to it unless you record it. So record what you're doing as much as possible, and then also review that recording so that you can, you know, build content a lot faster.
Like
Dave
Chappelle said, he takes punchlines and just throw him in a fish jar, right. In a fish bowl. He said he got a whole bunch of punchlines. They just in the fish bowl, and he pull them out and he works his jokes back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do the same thing. I reverse engineer. I reverse all that shit. That's like, I want to hear and then open it up, and then that's how I write everything. I come up with
quick question for you, Bruce. You created so much content. You've been a vet for 10 years. You talked about, you said you had your own, you started up doing photography. I want to know, what's the next sort of content, or what's the next big thing that you're looking to curate to influence and help shape and just basically just help others? Because I see you've done so much of that in your work individually and professionally. Like, what's next that you're looking to really
So right now what I'm doing is similar to what Rick was said, and shout out to Rick, dope interview, dope.
Out to Rick.
Which y'all said, he did a super dope interview. Similar to what he said, is trying to take all of the different things that I do and that I do at a high level and combine them into something that is deliverable, but deliverable to people that look like me. Because I can come up with some, you know, super technical stuff, and people that look like me will be able to comprehend it. But I want to break it down into our language,
right?
To how we move, so that it's very inviting, and it's not so like, because yoga is almost like, oh, that's, you know, that's for flexible people. When realistically, you come to yoga when you need to get flexible.
Yep.
So, just
shout out to your posture, because I need to. Shout out to your posture. Shit, my bad.
Word.
I can't lift my arm.
Fucked
up.
Word.
So I can't lift my arm.
You got yoga for moms? Shit. I need.
Yeah. No, I do yoga for dads, but I also got open classes too. And I got some other stuff. I'm about to drop laughing yoga. So.
Okay.
Get in tune for that. That should be dope. Good.
That's yeah. Dope.
You do virtual? You do any virtual stuff?
Everything virtual right now. I ain't
yeah. Yeah, we got to share that in this live, so I could definitely, because I need to do some yoga, bro. I need to be doing it, and I would definitely do it.
LegendaryBruce.com. So if you go to LegendaryBruce.com, you'll be able to see all the yoga classes. You'll be able to see all the comedy shows that's coming up.
You'll be able to see.
I'm also doing something with the Melanin Yoga Project and Om Stars.
Nice.
So yoga for dads on omstars.com's platform.
That's dope.
Powerful, bro.
Every Sunday we do yoga for dads.
I did yoga in the park over the summer.
Yeah.
It was good. Yeah. But guess what? I was in pain. I couldn't even walk the next day. It was horrible. I was walking like a cowgirl. I'm like, this is crazy.
It's real.
The next time I went, I was able to do more than I was able to do the first time.
Yeah.
So.
And it creates good balance.
Consistent.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love it. And I love all the work that you do. Shout out to you, brother, for coming on here, taking the time out with everything you got going on. I salute you being a dad, a businessman, entrepreneur. And, you know, we stay in touch. I had to get you on here, bro. I know our schedules is crazy, but I had to get you on here. And I'm glad we did. Shout out to you and the fam. You know, so I appreciate you for coming on, bro.
I appreciate you having me, bro. I appreciate you, Tiff, JP, y'all too.
Thank you.
TJ Maxx and Marshall's up for them cups and them mugs.
That's right.
You see it, right?
I don't know what that said. It say mom on there. It say happy on that mug. I mean, like,
those are
it. It says fearless. It says you got this. It says
in the mug. I'll be like, yo, I need them. Every time I walk past, I'll be like, I need them.
Those are the dishes. That's the set nobody could use, though. It's just there. No, that's the set nobody could
use. We use that shit. Don't get it twisted. We use it.
The birdhouse.
Yeah, but that's my guy, Legendary Bruce. Follow him on Instagram at Legendary Bruce. Support him on his website, legendarybruce.com. Dope merch. Find out more about the yoga. I appreciate you. Be safe, homie. Appreciate you for coming on, man.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce.
Yes, yes. That's how it is. This is what we're doing. Afterthought Podcast. Shout out to Rick. Shout out to my guy, Bruce, for coming through. Rick being a talented musician, actor. And then we just had my guy, Bruce, come on, comedian. Just a dope dude. Health and wellness instructor. You got the digital media company. He's just doing a lot of shit. Both them brothers is doing a lot of shit. So please, follow them. How'd y'all like them? I enjoyed them both.
Enjoyed like, them.
I think we've had for the last few weeks
some very
dope, inspiring, wide-ranging guests.
Amen. Amen.
Really great energy. Like everybody's frequency is like vibrating high.
Yes.
High. And it's inspiring me. It's making me think. It's like, this is like, if y'all haven't had a chance to catch up on some old episodes.
Yes.
Make sure y'all catch up.
And where can you catch up at? I'll tell you. That's a great segue. AnchorFM.com.
I'll tell you.
If you're in the car or if you're working out, you just want to listen to us, AnchorFM.com/ Afterthought Podcast. We got all the episodes. Tonight will be up there tomorrow. If you want to see this again, you can go to our Facebook. So you can watch it. Or the YouTube page. And you can watch it back, run it back. But we are on 20 platforms or more. We're streaming. We ain't getting paid that much. We're doing it for the love. But if you want to support the show, visit us on anchor.fm. Afterthought Podcast. And there's a support button. You can donate $1, $4, $5, whatever. This podcast is going to be at the top when it's all said and done. So don't try to front on us later. Support us now. Share us. Follow us. Anything y'all want to say before we get out of here, y'all?
I don't got nothing to say today.
That is a first. Listen.
I think they said it all.
That's rare. Tiff don't got nothing to say on the way out. All right. Jay, what you got, Jay?
Look, I'm going to say this. Lakers,
come on!
In five.
That was three words: 5 minutes or five games.
Five games. Let's go, Yankees!
Yes.
Hold your politicians accountable. Go listen to some old episodes if you haven't yet. And
justice for Breonna Taylor.
Yes. What should we do with Mary? Powerbook 2.
Well, hold on. Let me tell you what we should do.
Come on, Joe. Come on. I know.
Let's hear it. It's on you, Joe.
I get upset when she starts to speak on the show immediately. Is it me? The high acting gets me pissed off.
Why did she say Benfejo?
Yeah, yes. I was like, why did they give her that line? I didn't see Sunday's episode. I think we watched it. We skimmed through it. I'm gonna watch it tonight after the Laker game. But
and we're going to talk about that.
Yes, next week. I got to talk about power. Cuz I don't know. I'm feeling it. It's good. But it's still missing something. I don't know what it is. It's missing something.
Tommy.
Yeah. It could be Tommy.
And when he comes back, cuz he's going to pop up at some point cuz he's still alive.
And I ain't going front. All I can think of is Bobby Brown. The nigga that's playing. I just see Bobby Brown.
Woody, what's his last name?
From the Bobby Brown story is running around here.
Acting fucking crazy.
Acting wild. And then you got dude on there. What is it, DJ? We find out he likes men now. It's a lot happening right now on there.
Shout out to the homie Paige. You know, pout yo.
All I know is he better not pull no Jussie Smollett shit. He may.
He may by the end of the season.
Don't fuck up the goddamn season.
Well, let's do this. On that note, Tiff, tell them how can they find you. Remind them where to catch you at every day. Tell the people where to find you at.
You can catch me in the morning on WYWM Radio for the Morning Madness. You get all your news updates, sports, and weather, all of that stuff. Good R&B, hip-hop music from the 80s, 90s era. Some of the new stuff mixed in, but it's all good. You can follow me on Facebook, Tiff Tonto, and it's really I don't know. Don't follow me on IG.
Stop. I'll let you know. It's really Tiff underscore Tonto.
It's really not because I'm not there. So don't.
She needs a producer for her Instagram.
Don't worry, y'all. We fixing Tiff's IG.
We get her IG back.
Let me drink my water.
It's there.
50 days. So I can get my creative juices going,
all
right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say this. My brother Gray said he's going to send you some music, some of his music that he about to drop.
So
you
can play on the morning. Yes. Producer. All right,
I'm
going to
send you the email.
JP said, I'll be his producer.
Is he lying?
No, Gray's serious. Okay. Well, Gray has music already, but he's got new music he's about to drop on the EP. Shout out to Gray. He's going to be dropping some stuff soon, so yeah.
Dope. All right, so I'm gonna send you the email to your the email address to your text message, Joe, and then you just give it to him and he can email his music, cover art and shit like that.
Yeah, I got you.
All right, Jay. That was a gem, Joe.
That was a gem.
I'm just excited to hit a new EP, G.
You already know. Jay, how can they find you? How can they find you, Jay, before we get out of here?
At JPC, the number 2, capital K-L-U-B one time for the noobs. John Paul Campbell on Facebook. That's my back at JPC2 Club. That's me on Twitter, on the gram. You'll see me here, there, and everywhere.
That rhyme. There you go. And on that note,
he's trying to be a rapper, a comedian. Let me find out you're gonna be the next special guest.
On that note, thank y'all for tuning in. Afterthought Podcast. This that new Jack Harlow automatic. It's your man Joe Hill. Follow us on social media, the Afterthought Podcast. Catch us on anchor.fm, YouTube, and more streaming platforms. We'll see y'all same time next week. Go Lakers.
Rest in peace, Kobe.
Oh, yeah. Rest in peace to Kobe.